God, we thank you that you are who you say you are. God, we thank you that there is only truth that comes out of you. Father, that there is no deception or lies. God, that there is no manipulation, but there is only truth and hope and joy. God, we are thankful that you are the God of miracles, and you are still in the miracle business today, God, and we thank you for that. God, we thank you that we can trust who you are. God, we thank you for your perfect timing. God, we thank you for your peace. God, we thank you for your love. And we thank you that we can share your love with others. We thank you that we can share your joy with others, your peace with others. Father, I praise you and thank you that we come in contact with people each and every day that we can share this with. But Jesus, thank you for giving that to us. Thank you for this gift of joy, for peace. Father, for the miracles you show us each and every day. God, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. Father, I pray that today that you would just allow us to focus on you. God, that those distractions going on around us, Father, would just crumble at your feet and we can look straight at you and what you have for us, Jesus. Calm our hearts. Chase back darkness and fear. And God, I pray that you would breathe life into us. Father, be with us this rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. I'll thank the music team for doing a great job again. I'm going to turn my iPad down. Hopefully it didn't beep while we were singing. I don't think it did. Mary, did it beep? You didn't hear a beep? Okay, good. Erla, did a beep? Didn't hear a beep? Good. I just remembered, actually, so I was glad it didn't beep. So, I'll let these guys get down. We're in week 4 of our series of I Am Jesus. So I want to give you guys a brief series recap, okay? Because today I think we're going to talk about one of the most important I Am statements that Jesus made. And you'll notice I've got some lovely greenery up on stage with me or beside the stage. And I'll explain why I have my bonsai tree here that I've been taking very gentle care of for the past 7 years and it's still alive. I had to do surgery on it once with a Sawzall. But it's still alive. So, our first week, we talked about how I am the resurrection. And we talked, firstly, about are you dead in your doubts? And we talked about doubting Thomas. And we read John 11:16, where it said, "Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, 'Let us also go that we may die with him.'" How many of you can say that sometimes you are dead in your doubts? Yeah, I think a lot of us can say at some point in our life, maybe we were dead in our doubts. And then we read about Mary and being dead in your discouragement. And it says in John 11:20, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed home. She's like, why bother? And sometimes I think we get, when things are going maybe not quite the way we would like to see them, sometimes we get a little bit dead in our discouragement. And then the third person we talked to was Martha, and how she was dead in the delay. Because when she got out there, when she went out to meet Jesus, she said on his arrival, in John 11, 17, and verse 21 as well, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. He stinketh, right? And Lord Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, he would not be dead. How many sometimes of us are like that? Where we're like, God, where were you? If you'd have been here, if you'd have only just shown up 2 weeks earlier, this would have happened, or this could have been different. And sometimes I think we're a little bit dead in the delay in our heart. We're just like, where were you, God? You're like, you're late again. It's like, hopefully my parents aren't listening. Sometimes my parents coming to birthday parties, they're dead in the delay. They show up an hour late. Party's over. We had cake. If you'd have been here, you could have had cake, right? Sometimes that's how we feel with Jesus. And you know what? What we like we talked about that week when we talked about that is we may think it's late, but he shows up right on time every time. So it's not our timing, it's God's. And then the week after that, we talked about I am the good shepherd. And we learned about the challenges of being a sheep. AJ, do you remember one of the challenges? Sheep get lost easily. Isaiah 53 told us, all we like sheep have gone astray. And the second thing we learned about sheep is they're defenseless. You liked my joke last week about back off. And that's all that sheep have for defense. They got no claws, no wings, no fangs. And the third thing we learned are sheep are stubborn. I'm not even going to repeat my joke from the first week when I shared it. But they're not stubborn like Stacy at all. And the fourth thing we learned are sheep are filthy. Aren't they? And sheep cannot and will not clean themselves. Sheep need a shepherd, and we need Jesus. And we talked about that week how he guides us like the shepherd guides. He provides for us. He corrects us and he protects us. And then last week, we talked about I am the light of the world. And we talked about how we had the law come down because the law reveals our guilt. Because we're guilty people, aren't we? We are incredibly guilty. And until we see ourselves as sinners, we talked about how we don't have a need for a Savior. If we see ourselves as sinners because the law is there, it shows that we really need Jesus. We really need a Savior. His love reveals God's grace. His light reveals our hope. And no matter how dark your world may seem, he is the light, isn't he? So this week, we're going to talk about I am the vine. So we're going to take a look at what Jesus said in John 15. And it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, what can you do? You can do nothing apart from me. John 15, 5. That statement alone is pretty dramatic if you really think about it. If you stay with me and I'm with you, you're going to bear a lot of fruit. But apart from me, nothing. Nothing. So that statement's in John 15. So if we jump back a couple chapters, we have John 13. You don't have to show it yet. John 13. And what happens in John 13? Does anybody know? The Lord's Supper. So we have the Lord's Supper. The Last Supper, sorry. We have the Last Supper in John 13. And why is it called the Last Supper? It's the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples, right? Before he was arrested, before he was crucified. So we got chapter 13, we start with the Last Supper. In verse 18, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's arrested and later crucified. So in chapter 13, we got the Last Supper. So kind of those in-between chapters, you could say they're kind of like supper talk, supper conversation. How many of you guys have supper conversation on your dinner table? It's a time to converse, right? Now, if I'm going to sit with you around the table or around with my friends or my family, if I'm sitting with my kids and my wife, and I know it's the last time we're going to have a supper conversation before I die, how do you think that conversation might go? You might want to tell them how you feel about them, right? Like I might say, you know, I really love you, Ella. I love you, Nora. I love your green eyes and your smile. And you're going to tell the person what you love them. I love your passion and your compassion. That's kind of what I think would happen. Much like what Jesus was doing here. See, the other thing that I think would happen is I'm going to try to take that last moment and impart as much knowledge and wisdom and direction as I can to them. This is my last chance to speak into their life, something important. So this is Jesus' life lesson, I guess, for his disciples. That's the context here, where he says to them, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Very, very important stuff. So why is being connected to the vine so important? Nourishment, feeding. I've got some beautiful, we're going to call these all fruit-bearing trees. I don't think they are, but they're leaf-bearing trees. But we're going to say the leaves are fruit, okay? Can you imagine with me? We've got this stick, this branch, that's been disconnected from the tree, from the vine, for some time. What is it? It's pretty dead. If you can hear it on the microphone. Earl, I'm sorry, we'll have to pick that up before we... It's dead. When it's disconnected from the tree, when it's disconnected from the source of nourishment, it dies. It can bear nothing. Now, I broke this branch off. It was small, so I didn't want to kill too much. But it's only been off for a little while. And if you look closely, the leaves are already starting to wither. And they're not as healthy as they were when I first went out and broke it off. As you disconnect yourself from Jesus, you quickly can wither and not produce anything. You won't produce anything once you disconnect, but you start withering off a little bit and hardening. And this one is already sounding a little bit dry. And it's only been like 5 hours. Oh, and it's really dirty. Oh, really dirty. But then here we got this beautiful 6,000-year-old bonsai tree right from the heart of Japan. I don't know how old it is, but I've had it for 6 years. But it's probably 6,000 years, guaranteed. But it's connected to the main vine, isn't it? It's still producing leaves, lovely, lovely green leaves. Still producing fruit. When it's connected, it bears fruit. When it's disconnected, it starts dying and withering very quickly. We need to stay connected to the vine. What slide are you on? Go to 15:1, please. John 15:1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. So from this, If Jesus is calling himself the true vine, what would that tell you? Maybe there's a true vine and a false vine. See, sometimes we attach ourselves, I think, to false vines. Things that we don't necessarily need. Or things that are not of Jesus. Sometimes we connect ourselves to success rather than staying focused on connecting ourselves to Jesus. And we want to be the self-made man or woman, thinking that that's the way to go, rather than thinking, Jesus will guide my steps, my path. Sometimes it's social status. These things don't produce fruit. Jesus says, I am the true vine. We need to connect ourselves to Jesus because only he can produce fruit. See, connecting ourselves to social status, does that produce fruit? What I think it produces is a bit of pride. Now, here's the thing. That's not saying God's not going to bless us with social status, but if it becomes our full objective and our purpose and we say, I can do this on my own and I'm a self-made man or woman, then I don't need Jesus, right? But we become like the withered, dead branch. Only Jesus can produce fruit. So the first point, oh, she's way ahead of me. Staying connected to Jesus produces fruit. John 15:5. I'm going to read this again. You're going to get tired of this verse by the end of it, but I hope you're not tired because it's something encouraging and should really direct your path. Where it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Where's the dead one? Apart from me, right? You're kindling. That's all you are. So what is fruit? Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Sorry, it was bugging me. That was a pun. See, when I felt this pull to ministry initially, I was busy with life. I was working this ridiculous amount of hours because what was I doing? I was building my career. That was my focus. I was going to build my career, and I had this dream of being a VP within Husky. That was my goal. That's my goal. I'm going to be a VP or a senior VP, and I'm building my career, and I'm putting in all these hours. And I felt God pulling on my heart, Dave, you need to get involved in ministry. And I was reading a Francis Chan book at the time and just going through some of the study with it. And I felt God telling me, you need to start getting involved in doing ministry. You have a call in your life to be a pastor. You need to get involved. And I'm like, but God, building this career over here. Like, I am on a good path right now. I'm on my way up, God. I'm successful. People want to be with me, work with me. I have built a name for myself in the industry. Stacy's business is blowing up, God. Like, it's booming. We've got employees. Things are going really well. We've got this great place at the lake, God. Like, things are awesome there. We love being there. You know, I don't have time for ministry. We have 5 kids, God. These kids, they take a lot of time and a lot of money. A lot of time. And I can't do it. I don't have time, God. I have 5 kids. Excuse after excuse after excuse. And it's not like God would say to me, you know what? Oh, Dave, sorry. My bad. You're good. I got the wrong Dave. God knows. He isn't surprised by this. He isn't like, five kids? I thought you just had three. Where did these other two come from? What are their names? Wow, I missed that. Sorry, Dave. I forgot you're busy building your career. How's it going anyways? How's that job? It's going well. Oh, good. I had no idea you were building a career. I'm so sorry. You have a lake lot? Whoa. That's a big deal. Who gave you that lake lot? Who gave you those kids to love? Who the heck do you think is building your career? Who's building Stacy's clinic? Actually, further than that, Dave, who owns that clinic? See, I was coming up with all these excuses why I couldn't do it. And when I read through the Bible a little bit and read Numbers 11, I was reading about the story about Moses. And he was leading the Israelites out of the desert. And they started complaining, like they seemed to do a lot back then. And they were complaining because they wanted some meat. Who doesn't want meat when you're eating manna all the time, right? You need a burger to go in that bun. Right, Nathan? They wanted meat. And Moses was like, what? And God was like, okay, they want meat? I'm going to give them meat. I'm going to give them so much to start coming out their nostrils and their ears. They're going to have so much meat, they're not going to know what to do. I've got sticks everywhere. And Moses starts going to God and saying, hey, God, you know, we're out here in the desert, and there's not a lot of meat around here. Like, I haven't seen a deer or a cow running around lately. And I don't know if you noticed this, so I just thought I'd ask. But I don't know if you can do this just because we don't have cows, and, you know, where are we going to get it from? And he's offering God excuses, kind of like I was. And then God says, Moses, is my arm too short? Like, really, when I read that verse, it was like, hey, Dave, is my arm that short? Really? And I was reading that, and you know what? I had this little blossom of fruit pop up on my branch. This little blossom of fruit called faithfulness popped up and began to appear in my life. And I was like, you know what? You're right, God. You got this. This is all that we have is because of you. Because you're faithful, and because I trust you, and I strive to be whatever you call me to be and do whatever you call me to do. And maybe sometimes you're like trying to stay connected, and it just doesn't seem like there's fruit. And it's like you're praying for that friend, for instance. You're praying for a long time, and you know, things aren't going the way you're praying for that situation to go. In fact, maybe it's going the opposite way of how you think it should be going. And you're praying. And maybe you're like, God, what is going on here? I'm praying for this situation to change. Where are you, God? I'm trying to stay connected, God, but where's this fruit? Where is it? I'm praying to you, God. I'm trusting you. And Jesus said, if you remain in me, and if you stay connected, you will bear much fruit. See, this morning we were looking, Ryan and I were looking at the weather forecast and seeing if it was going to rain. If you look at the fruit forecast, I can guarantee you there is 100% chance of fruit in the forecast when you trust God. Because he didn't say you may bear fruit, did he? Did he say, can you jump back the slide? He didn't say, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you might get some fruit, period. Is that what it says? See, if I look right here, it says, you will bear fruit. 100% chance of bearing fruit. As a matter of fact, there is zero chance you're not going to bear fruit. It may not be like we said earlier. You may be waiting. There may be a bit of a delay because it's not our time, but you will bear fruit. And can we go even one step further? No, you stay where you were. You will bear fruit, but you will bear much fruit. So you're not going to bear one apple. You're going to bear an orchard of apples or oranges or grapes. You will bear much fruit when you remain in Jesus. Don't you think? That's what Scripture tells us. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Guys, if that doesn't get you excited that if you remain in Jesus, you're going to bear much fruit, I don't know what will. But here's the kicker. Maybe this is why we're not excited. Because we're not remaining in him. We need to remain in him. We have to remain with Jesus. We need to stay with him. We need to stay connected to the tree, to the branch, to the vine. We need to be connected in order to bear the much fruit. Staying connected bears fruit. Staying connected bears much fruit. An abundance of fruit. It's like the Costco of fruit. If you're connected, if you're part of the club, you have access to fruit growing on your vines. So the first thing is, if we stay connected, we're going to produce much. Can you say that with me, guys? Because I feel like you guys aren't excited about this as I am. Staying connected bears much fruit. Say that with me. Staying connected bears much fruit. Do you want to bear much fruit? Then stay connected to the source, Jesus. So the other side of that whole thing, the inverse must be true then, that being disconnected produces nothing, no fruit. Because Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:5, again, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But let's keep reading. Verse 6. If you do not remain in me, you are like the branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in a fire and burned, just like my kindling there that I'm going to have to pick up for Erla. So how do we stay connected to the vine? Maybe we spend time with Jesus. We pray. We talk to him. We read his word. Maybe we do things that Jesus says. See, the thing is we need, the only way you can get to know somebody and to stay connected to somebody is to spend time with them, isn't it? We need to stay connected to him. We need to hear what he says, what he wants us to do, and we need to do what he says, don't we? See, John 15:10 says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. So I said earlier I was reading a Francis Chan book at the time, so I had to include a Francis Chan story. Does everybody know who Francis Chan is? If you don't, you should check out some of his books. He's a really good author, really good teaching pastor. But Francis Chan shares a story about his daughter and cleaning her room. And I love the way that he uses this illustration. And he's talking as if he's a parent and he asks their child to go clean their room. So I'm going to use my child as an example to retell his wonderful story, okay? So I'm going to use Nora. Because Nora keeps a really nice, clean room. As long as you don't look under her bed or open her closets or drawers. Or pull back the covers and everywhere else she's hidden clothes and stuff. So, Nora, go clean your room. I need you to clean your room, Nora. Go clean it. And Nora comes back, and I say to her, as the parent, Nora, did you clean your room? And Nora says, well, I memorized what you said about cleaning the room. You said, Dad, Nora, go clean your room. Great, but did you clean your room? So then she goes back to her bedroom. And she comes back later, and I say, Nora, did you clean your room? And she said, actually, Dad, what I got is I got it tattooed here on my arm in Hebrew. So that way, I can look at it and say, it says, go clean my room. So I could be reminded every day, and so that everybody around me knows that I should clean my room as well. It's right there in Hebrew. Yeah, but did you clean your room, Nora? Well, Dad, I got together with four friends and we went to Starbucks and we talked about what it meant to when you said go clean your room and what you really meant there. And we studied the word in Greek, the word clean. And you know what? It actually means cleanio, which means to clean in haste and clean with much fortitude. Yeah, Nora, but did you clean your room? Oh, no, Dad, but I went to a conference. And we talked about what it meant to clean your room. And somebody told us actually how to clean more effectively. But Nora, did you clean your room? See, here's the thing, guys. Many of us just need to simply clean our room. That's what Jesus told us to do, was to clean our room. God's been telling us that for a long time. He's been confirming it through his word. People have told you maybe over and over, you should do this. And maybe you should go here. Maybe you should think about doing this. And you're like, well, I can't do that. And God's saying, clean your room. Quit talking about it. Quit praying about it. Quit making excuses and go clean your room. Maybe it's talking to somebody in town, loving somebody in town. Maybe it's inviting someone to church and telling them about how great your church is or how funny your pastor is or all those good things. I had a call from a lady and her husband's like, who are you talking to? And she's like, I'm talking to that cute pastor from the community church. I think the lady was like 90. But hey, I'm the cute pastor from the community church. It's great. It really built my ego. I don't even know if she knows who I am. She might have seen my picture in the paper. I don't know. But hey, but maybe it's talking to your community. Maybe it's loving them. Maybe it's doing some acts of kindness around and just showing Jesus in what you do. Maybe it's ministering to the lost in some different way. Maybe it's you need to spend more time with your kids and show them love before they get to move out and they're gone. And God's saying, hey, clean your room. Invest in these kids that I've given you. Talk to your neighbor. Invite them to church. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about how good I really am to you. Maybe it's God putting on your heart to maybe just be a little less selfish and a little less selfless. And give some time away. And clean your room. See, we've got to do what Jesus said. You want to stay connected to the vine? Do what Jesus says. He says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. See, you need to love like Jesus loves. John 15:12 says, love each other as what? Is it love each other the way you saw in the movie? Is it love each other the way it's convenient for you to love someone? Is it love each other when it's comfortable for you? Is it love each other when you have time? I know you're busy. You're busy playing PS4 or Xbox. And, you know, you're almost got that game figured out. So when you're done that, I'm sure you're going to go love someone. Well, I've got this really good book, or I'm putting in these extra hours here. But when I'm done, I'm going to come and make sure I do love that person. Yep, when I'm done. When I'm done, what's important to me. Or maybe it's like was said here earlier. Love each other as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? What did Jesus do? He gave himself for us. He died for us. He loved when it was uncomfortable, when it was hurt. It hurt a little bit, didn't he? When he was beaten, he loved us. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. See, I think there was a possible connection to the fruit that was produced in the disciples. Because do you think when Jesus made disciples, he was there with them, walking with them, loving them, talking to them, encouraging them, showing them what it meant to serve God and honor God? Do you think the fruit that Jesus had in his life was evident to the disciples? And do you think those disciples carried that fruit on as they made more disciples? So what fruit is evident in our life? Are we connected to Jesus? Are we connected to the vine? Are we showing those fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control? Because Jesus said, when we remain in him and he in us, what's going to happen? We're going to bear much fruit. Who wants to bear much fruit? I think we all do. See, as we do that and we love each other, what happens is God takes away our loneliness. Or maybe he takes away our pain. And when he takes away our loneliness, he replaces it with his comfort. Or when he takes away our desires and he replaces it with what? His desires. His desires. As we love each other and we remain connected, we find ourselves one day in the middle of a miracle. See, God is doing something in us. As we abide in him, he's doing this change inside of us, and we start producing fruit, even when we're not thinking about it. Not in our timeline. Because Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. Attach yourself to that vine. Allow that vine to produce fruit in you. May not happen right away, but in his timing. But abide in him through that. Don't take your focus off him. But I've been praying for this. Abide in him. Keep praying. Keep focusing on him. But Dave, I've been praying. Keep praying. Keep abiding. Keep trusting. he will produce fruit. 100% chance of fruit in the forecast, guys. 0% chance of no fruit. When you abide in him, allow Jesus to give you life. Allow that vine to give you life and produce fruit in you. Do you guys pray with me? Father God, right now we come before you. And God, we thank you for producing fruit in our life. And Father, maybe yet we haven't seen all the fruit that you have for us. Maybe those flowers are just starting to come as we stay connected to you. And Father, we continue to pray that you would just allow those flowers to turn into ripe, luscious fruit. Father, fruit that only you can produce. And God, I pray that right now as we abide in you and we trust you and we stay focused fully on you, that nothing else matters. God, that our timing doesn't matter, that our circumstances don't matter. All that matters is that you're producing fruit in us when we abide in you. And God, I pray that right now we would abide in you. Father, we would put our trust in you. We would put our focus on you. God, we thank you that you have made that promise that you will produce fruit in us when we abide in you. God, we thank you for that guarantee in Scripture that you will produce fruit. God, we anxiously await for the fruit to be produced. And we prepare our hearts for that fruit to be produced. A bountiful harvest of fruit. God, while we wait, or as you produce it, we pray that we will just continue to abide in you, closer and closer to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the opportunities to do these things you've called of us, whether it be to love our neighbor, whether it be to spend time with our kids or a friend or our spouse. God, I pray that you would just take those times and just build them. God, that we wouldn't just say, I read this and I studied this and I went to the conference, God, but we would actually do what you've asked and that nothing would stop us, that we would stay fully focused on what you're calling us to. God, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, have a great week and we will see you next Sunday.